I want to talk to you about a very serious subject. And the question I want to ask is, does Christianity still work today? We see a lot of people who confess to be Christians. They make a declaration that I'm a believer, but their life just does not change. If you went to a gym and you exercised for years and you just didn't change, maybe you should look into it. What is the problem? Right? We want to follow faith that's real. We want to follow spirit that changes us from the inside out. We want to follow God, who's powerful God. And when we look at a lot of people, they said, I tried this Christianity thing. I tried this religion thing. And that's probably what you tried is religion, not Christianity. And it didn't work for me. And so my question today is, how come it doesn't work for some people? I can't say it doesn't work for anybody because it worked for me. If you knew who I was, if you knew my testimony, I was a pretty bad dude. Yeah. And I got lucky that I didn't get caught as much more than I deserve. Sometimes I'm thinking, I'm like, Lord, I would have done that and that and that. But I look at my life and I'm like, okay, protected, somehow rescued, somehow didn't get found out. Right? There's been times in my life when I prayed, Lord, I've done something so bad. Please, erase it somehow. How many of you prayed that prayer before? Before I get caught, before the cops come, you know? Oh, Jesus. I remember when I was a teenager and I was running from God and I was broke. You know, when you run from God, you're broke and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing and you're using things you shouldn't be using. And I remember coming to a gas station, and I was bad. I just want to tell you what God can do in your life. I came to a gas station, and I didn't have any money, but I needed gas. And I filled it up, and I took off. And I remember the prayer that I had. I was like, Lord, please send your angels. May the cameras not work. Well, I don't know if they had cameras then. You know, it was when I was 16 or so, 15, 16 years old. I was like, Lord, I don't have any money. You understand? And I remember having a bra on my car. And, you know, I was being paranoid because, you know, I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. And when you do things you shouldn't be doing, you get paranoid. You think everybody's after you. Everybody's watching you. Everybody wants to get you, you know. And so I almost painted my car a different color, you know. And I get a phone call from a police department. We don't know if it's you or not. Was it you filling your car? I'm like, no, that wasn't me. And so what I'm saying is we've all done things in our life. But I know who I was. I'm kind of ashamed of who I was. I'm even ashamed of telling you this right now. Because some of you might think, okay, well, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with you thinking that I'm not perfect. Because I'm not. We all are not perfect. We have stories. We have testimonies. But guess what? I know that I'm proud, and not in a bad way, not in an arrogant way, but I'm happy to stand here before you today and say, God has done amazing things over the last 17 years. Well, not 17, more like 15 years of my life. And I'm so happy to be where I am today. So I know God works for people. I know that God works. And so the question is, why is it that Christianity, faith in God, works for some and it doesn't work for others? And today I want to talk about, because this concept of being baptized means repenting and being baptized. Listen to the scripture, Acts chapter 2, open to Acts chapter 2. And I want to give you a little bit of scripture, three verses. Peter, this is the first day the church is being created. Peter preaches a long sermon. I'm not going to read it because it's going to be really long. And Peter's preaching a sermon, and then people who was listening to the sermon, their heart melted. And listen to what it says, chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, when salvation happens, usually the true salvation happens, usually the next question is, what should I do now? When you have people who say, I've accepted Jesus in my life, but I want nothing to do with him or the church or the reading the Bible or praying. I still want to be the same. Be careful, because that might not be a true heart repentance. Notice, when the people repented, they asked Paul, Peter, and they said, brethren, what should we do now? That's the question. Are you asking the question? If you're a Christian, the first step, are you asking a question? What should I do now, God? What is your plan for me today? What is your plan for me in 2011? What should I do this month? What should I do next month? That's the question a person of faith must always ask. God, what should I do now? And listen to what Peter said to them. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 40, and with many, verse 41, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. Those who said, I want to live for Jesus, I confess my sins, were baptized. Now, if you're afraid of being baptized, don't be. But maybe check your faith. Why are you so afraid of being baptized? You've seen young men and women doing it today, and they didn't drown. A shark didn't bite him, you know. There's no piranhas in there, you know, chewing on your ankle. It's all good. Amen. So when they believed, they were baptized. And then they were added and became part of the body of Christ. Now, what is repentance? Repentance is restoring a person to his original state. How many of you know that in this human body, the way we are, we have a corrupt body? We have a sinful body. Adam and Eve, when they chose to disobey God, sin came into the world. And since then, the humanity has been going down the hill. And you look around, and it's some things that you hear happening. It's horrible what sin created in this world. And so repentance means, and in repentance, you also see a word, pent. What is a, have you ever heard of penthouse? What does that mean? Top, right? Not penthouse. Not that penthouse. It's going back to that top. Now we all need help. We all need to get out of this bottom and go to the top. God says, I want to make you the head and not the tail. So repentance means going from the tail to being a head. It's symbolically speaking, right? That's what repentance means. If you were going this way, if I was going this way, repentance means I turn around and I go back to where I fell from. That's what repentance means. Now, seven counterfeits of true repentance. I'm going to quickly give you seven counterfeits of true repentance so you know what repentance is not. That way you know what it is. Number one repentance that's not true repentance is religious repentance. A lot of people don't hate Jesus. They hate religion. And they hate religious people. Now, what is religious repentance? It's seeing your sin. It's confessing your sin, not my own. Have you ever seen people like that? All they see is your faults. But they never seem to focus on themselves. And Jesus says to those people, he says, you hypocrite, pull out a 2x4 out of your own eye, and then you'll see that in your brother's eye, the speck will be removed. How many of you know that story? And so religious people, they like to see other people's fault, but they never do anything to change themselves. Now, sometimes Christian people, good Christian people, can become religious. Let me give you an illustration, if that's okay. Imagine with me that Jesus decided to leave heaven and visit 10 cities to preach the salvation news. Just imagine with me, right? Jesus, you know, says, the church is not doing it. He won't do it. I'm just saying, imagine. It's an illustration. And he says, I'm just going to go to 10 cities and preach the gospel. So he goes to one city, and he finds a person who's in a mess. broken and broke. Usually goes together. And he saves that person and says, follow me. So what happens is that person actually does follow Jesus. But he doesn't know that Jesus is going to the second city now. And in the process, on the road to the second city, the life of that person changes. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been with a friend who made you worse than you were? But have you ever been with a friend who made you better? Right? Walking with Jesus, just automatically, it's not that you do something. But just hanging out with certain people makes you better. And so this one sinner walks with Jesus to the second city. And when they come to the second city, the man says, Jesus starts looking for the people just like he was a few months ago. Now he was changed a little bit. And so this man walks with Jesus, and Jesus looks at these people who are broke like he was a few months ago. And then he starts complaining. Jesus, what are we doing here? These people are sick, man. Look at this. They're dirty. They're in drugs. Their life is messed up. They've been divorced. Oh my goodness. We can't be here. Let's go have our own Bible studies, Jesus. And Jesus is like looking at him. It's like, do you remember where you were a few months ago? And it wasn't because of your goodness that you changed. It was hanging around with me that you changed. And so what a lot of religious people do, they start these Bible studies. And usually they turn up gossip studies. Right? Starts talking about everybody in a form of, let's pray about this problem. Do you know what Andre's going through? Can you believe it? We need to really pray. But before we do, let's talk about it. Right? And so Jesus looks at the people who are religious and says, listen, it's not because of you that you're a little better than he is, but because you've been hanging around with me. And because I came to your city first. How many of you getting this? See, religious people need to understand that God could have left you till you were 85 years old and then saved you. And who would you be then? But he saved you when he saved you because he had a plan for you. When he had a plan for you. We don't want religious people. Because in the day of John the Baptist didn't only preach to sinners to repent. But guess what? He preached to religious people to repent. And that's why they got so mad at him. They wanted to kill him because he was telling religious people who thought they were good now to repent. That's why they were called viper's nests. And being called a viper in that day was equivalent to be called the devil's meeting. We got to be careful that our churches don't become a viper's nest. Just the sinners need to repent of their sin. And Martin Luther said, the life of a believer is constant, everyday repentance. And a lot of people are wondering, why is my life not changing? Because you don't repent. Because you don't turn around. You just make excuses. You just minimize your sin. If you really want to see change in your life, start practicing repentance. Going back to the state where you fell from. Where do you fall from? I was always bad. I grew up like this. You know, look at the Bible. God will tell you where you fell from. Amen. Now in Luke chapter 18, we see an example of religious repentance in verse 10. The two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, which is a religious person, and the other one was tax collector. Tax collector, it was a bad person because they would steal, they would rob people. And listen to their prayer. The Pharisee stood and prayed this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other man. That's what religious repentance is. I thank you, God, that I'm better than him. I thank you I'm not like Andre. Hallelujah. You're right, Andre. I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And a tax collector standing afar off would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but would beat himself in the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
I tell you, this is the words of Jesus. This man went down to his house, the second one, the tax collector, justified rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Religious people struggle with the sin of pride. They didn't change themselves. Hanging around by Jesus changes people. But it didn't mean that you're better now than somebody who never encountered Jesus. And that's why our assignment here in this city is to reach people who are far from God to have a personal encounter with Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Number two, I'm going to go quicker through that. Number two is a pagan repentance that's a counterfeit of repentance. What is a pagan repentance? Now, pagan repentance means this. I don't really believe in God, but because I want God's blessing in my life, I'm going to repent for that purpose. I don't really want to live for Jesus. I don't really want to have nothing to do with Him. I'm going to repent so I can make God good. Listen, you cannot manipulate God. God is good. God is good. You don't have to make Him be good. You don't have to soften Him up, you know, bribe Him. God is good. Pagan repentance is, so if I tell God I'm sorry, then He has to do something for me. I know I shouldn't be dating this person, but I'll tell God I'm sorry later and God will save him. You know, that kind of repentance. I know I've done bad things, but I'll tell God I'm sorry. And He's obligated to cover for me and not let my sin get caught or found out. I'll tell God I'm sorry and He'll heal me. I'll tell God I'm sorry and He'll bless me. I'll tell God I'm sorry and He'll prosper me. That's pagan repentance. It means I will bribe God with my sorry. Yeah, I really mean it. As long as I get what I want. And a lot of people come to God and repent that way. And then they wonder why God doesn't do anything in their life. If we don't come to God to receive things, you know, just to get more stuff, get more materialism. We come to Him because He forgives our sins and gives us a new start and puts us back on the road to penthouse, to the top. Amen. God is sovereign and free and good. God cannot be manipulated. God is not obligated to do anything for you. The reason He does things for you is because He is good. Say, God is good. Amen. Number three, worldly repentance. Worldly sorrow repentance. It's feeling bad for your sins, but not changing. Do you remember the story of Judas who sold Jesus, betrayed Him? Bible says that he felt sorrow and then went and hanged himself. Now, Peter betrayed Jesus just as bad in front of everybody. And three times, yes. And then he came back to where he fell from. Notice Judah, when he felt sorrow, he went away from Jesus and killed himself. Now, Peter, on the other hand, when he felt sorrow, what did he do? He didn't run from Jesus. He went back to Jesus. And then Jesus said, do you love me? And Jesus gives him a commission. He says, feed my sheep. What? A man who just fell 3 days ago from grace now is going to lead the church and build a church that all over the world that has billions of people, billion of plus people, followers right now? Yeah, 3 days later, Judas could have came back to Jesus. He decided to run from Jesus. That's what repentance is. It's coming back. Yes, I fell short, but I'm coming back. Yes, I messed up, but I'm coming back. Yes, I screwed up my life, but I'm coming back to Jesus. I'm not waiting to change my life out there. I'm going back to Him because when I'm with Him, I change. Some of you are trying too hard to change yourself, but all you have to do is just come closer to Jesus and He'll change you. Worldly sorrow. You can see this usually on TV. A movie star in Hollywood, or a sports star, gets caught, cheats on his wife, like Sandra Bullock's husband, Jesse James, or Tiger Woods, or Lindsay Lohan.
get caught, you know. And then what they do is the world has created, our culture has created counterfeit repentance. Okay? So what they do is, usually they give the less fortunate people some money, write a big check, and say, I'm so sorry. Then they go on Oprah or Larry King, right? That's their priest, equivalent of priest or a pastor, and they say, I'm sorry. And their rep says to them, if you cry, people would believe you, right? If you shed a tear and say, I'm so sorry. And then we created something, you know, of equivalent of purgatory. You know what a purgatory is? It's where you go for, it's a Catholic doctrine, I'm not here to dispute it, but you go there for a while, and then it changes your life, so what we did for purgatory, we made it rehab, a purgatory. You go to rehab for a few months, and you usually don't finish. You hear him, he got out of rehab fast because he says he's changed man now, or she's changed woman now. How many of you heard that? And then they go back on TV and say, oh, I wrote a check to save puppies. You know, I paid for my sin now. I was in purgatory. That's it. Now I'm worthy of people. And people's opinion is the God. Because they care about people's opinion because nobody will buy their stuff or their product. So they say, I'm changed man now. And the more they cry, the more they show, the more they practice with their PR agent, the more people believe them and people forgive me now. And now, yeah, I paid for my sins. There's no redeemer. There's no salvation. There is no blood of Jesus washing the sins. It's all public. I save puppies and now I'm a good person. And if you give your check to the charities that show the most sub, that produce the most, like, oh, to babies, to, you know, and that's it. You're changed. You're a changed man. That's called worldly repentance. And listen to what Bible says about worldly repentance. It says this, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. But the sorrow of this world produces death. Now, people might say, yeah, he's changed man. But what does God say? And then you see him in rehab again. And then you see Lindsay doing it again and again. And it's like, if it was me, I would be spending 10 years in jail. But because she's got great lawyers, you know, I'm good. I'm glad for her. But you see what I'm saying? Help me out. Help me. Help me preach. Worldly sorrow is this. I feel bad, but I won't change. And a lot of people, they feel bad, so they would say, I'm sorry. And they don't really mean it. But just to, you know, because the guilt. You ever felt guilty? Yeah, I don't want to live with this. I'll just apologize. I'll just say I'm sorry. Number four, mere confession is not true repentance. And this one could be confusing. When people repent, but it's only words. When you confront or call this person or ask him to repent, you know what they say? You know what? You're right. You're right. That was terrible. And you're like, oh, great. All right. I'm glad you admit it. Let's give me a hug, brother. Give me a hug, sister. And then they're like, do it again. And you're like, what? What? And he's like, well, yeah, I thought you said you were sorry. Yeah, I was sorry. And I'll be sorry again tomorrow and next week and week after that. I will be sorry. But it's a mere confession. Right? Maybe you've had that person in your life who does something wrong and they say, oh, I'm sorry. And then they go ahead and do it again. That's what God says. That's counterfeit repentance. That's why some people's lives never change. Because they're like, oh, I'm sorry, God, on Sunday. And then like, I have no intention to change. Now, does God forgive you? Oh, yes. He's merciful. But then you look at your life. 5 years passes since you've been a Christian and you're not changed. And you're like, maybe this Christianity doesn't work. You're forgiven, but you're not changed. I like being forgiven. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to be changed. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Amen. Amen. Say amen. So mere confession, a person says, I'm sorry, acknowledges the sin, but does not turn away from the sin. Does not turn away from what they've done. Number five is blame shifting. Maybe you know that kind of repentance. Something bad happened, but it's not my fault. God, I'm sorry, but it's not my fault. So it's my wife. It's my husband. It's my friend. It wasn't me. And this goes back to the Garden of Eden. God says, Adam, what you do? Oh, it's not me. Oh, don't blame me. It's the woman that you gave me. Give me another one. This one is defective. Joke. That's a joke. And God says, woman, what you do? Oh, it wasn't me. It was the serpent. I mean, and the blame keeps going and going. Yes, I lost my temper. But they made me angry. Yes, I stole from my boss, but he doesn't pay me enough anyway. Blame shifting. And then, oh, I'm a poor victim. You know, people like to play the victim and blame someone else. You know, the reason I'm like this is because of my dad. He never told me he loved me. So you robbed the bank? How did that work? How does that work? Oh, because oh, my dad never told me. My mom never told me she loved me. We got to stop blaming other people. See, true repentance does not use, you know, blame shifting. Person has to come and says, it's me. It's my fault. If you really want to change, you have to say, it's me. It's my fault. And really mean it. Because nobody made you do those decisions. We all make our own decisions. If you make a good decision, you don't say, well, it wasn't me, it was my dad. You never do that. You never hear a person become successful and says, I didn't do it. It was not my fault. They're like, yeah, I did it. But how come when we do bad things, we're like, oh, no. It's not me. Amen? I cheated on my spouse, but they weren't meeting my needs. It was their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never mine. True repentance is, it's my fault. I messed up. I did it. I'm not going to blame anybody else. God, forgive me. True repentance, a person cares more that they hurt God by breaking His law than even the people that they hurt. Because when we say, God, I've hurt you, then you guess what? You'll say to the people, I've hurt you. When Zacchaeus was converted, when he was touched by Jesus, he said, whoever I stole from, I'll pay him four times. When you repent before God, not so much before people or before court opinion, then true change can happen in your life. I want true change. I don't want to play religion. I told God a long time ago, I want to be either 100% for you or 100% for the devil. That's it. I want to live fully. I want to live passionately. And thank God I'm living for Jesus because He saved me. It wasn't me. I've just been walking with Him for so long. It's not me. I've just been walking with Him for so long. It's not you. You've just been with Him for so long. Amen. Number six. Minimizing. Real repentance is not minimizing. Many times when people get confronted or caught doing something bad, the first thing they do is they find somebody who's worse, did something worse than them. Well, at least I didn't kill anybody. Well, good. We'll just give you a golden star on your sheet that you didn't kill anybody today. Wow. Look at you. Let's clap our hands for you. Let's give you a medal. Wow, you didn't kill anybody today. Woo-hoo! And then if that doesn't work, if you do something more horrible, then you say, well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. Well, nobody's as bad as Hitler. That's not a good place to line yourself up to. Not as bad as this minimizing. And people like doing that. Well, I'm not as bad as him. Listen, we don't line up to anybody. God doesn't expect nothing less than Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. So if you can't be like Jesus and nobody can, then guess what? We need Him. We need to be humble and say, hey, I rely on Him for my salvation. I rely on Him for my change. And the older I get, the more I realize I can't change myself. I can just become so desperate where I cry out and say, Jesus, change me. We don't change ourselves. We just get tired of where we're at. And we say, Jesus, change me. And he gives us power to change. Don't compare yourself to Hitler. Ever. Number 7, and the last one before we take communion, is excuse making. Yeah, I did it, but I had a rough upbringing. I didn't have a good education. My dad didn't hug me. I'm generically predispositioned. My personality type is J-E-R-K. My personality type is A-S-S. That's my personality type. I'm sorry. The reason I'm full of rage, the reason I always lose my temper because I'm Irish. The reason I lose my temper because I'm Latin, because I'm Italian. The reason I'm mean because I'm Russian. And every culture comes up with something. The reason why. Come on. The reason you're bad because you're bad. And you need Jesus to change you. You need Jesus to come into your life. I'm going to give you some common sense wisdom. The reason you're bad, the reason you feel bad, because you are. Probably did something bad. That's why you feel that way. Stop making excuses. Says, God, change me. God, change me. God, change me. People will come up with all kinds of excuses. But as long as we make excuses, you will never change. False repentance, religious repentance, pagan repentance, worldly sorrow, mere confession, blame shifting, minimizing, excuse making will not change your life. Now, it might keep you safe for a while, but it will not change your life. But listen, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm not here to waste time. I want to follow him for real or nothing at all. I wish there would be people here tonight, today, this afternoon, who would say something like that. Either I'm going to follow Jesus completely, I'm not just going to follow him at all.